Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, I want to welcome to Saving with Steve. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to welcome you to our inaugural show. Today, we have a wonderful show for you. With all that's going on in the world, we see mortgage rates just as low as we've ever seen them. In fact, they'll probably be this low. It'll be the lowest we've seen them in 40, 50, or 60 years. And it'll probably be the lowest we've seen in our lifetime. Now, we have Jonathan Jarotes. He's here from Synergy One Lending. He's been in the business for over 20 years. He's a well-respected source, financial contributor for, you know what, he used to be the mortgage voice for the Padre Radios. He's been on KCBQ. He's been on the American Dream Show. And we're lucky to have him because he's going to talk about interest rates. Where are they now? Where are they going to be? He's going to talk about the best way to lock in a rate. How long does it take to refinance and how do you get prepared for it? And then he's going to talk about home prices, where they are now, and where they're going. But most importantly, most people have trouble getting prepared to do a refinancing. So he's going to talk to you there. And you know what? He's going to be talking about the best way to save money when you're doing a refinancing. And then you know what? We all want to know what's going to happen in 2021. So why don't we find out economically what's going to happen? We have Alan Nevin. Alan Nevin's a Stanford graduate, and that was like 40 years ago. So he's a nationally known economist. He specializes in seeing how real estate fits in the economy. But you know what? He's going to talk to us about whether interest rates are going to go up or down. What's going to happen with this new administration? He's going to talk about what's going to happen with real estate. These are things that you're going to want to understand and know because that way you have information so you can ask prudent, informed questions that'll impact the quality of your life. You know why? Because you're going to be able to make good financial decisions. Now, today's episode for me is about getting to know you and you getting to know me. People say, hey, Steve, why do you do all this stuff? Why are you on the news? Why are you on ESPN? Why are you on Fox and many other stations as a financial contributor? You contribute to many outlets ranging from U.S. World Report, Martha Stewart Living, and many other ones. Now, here's the thing. What you don't know about me is I had a bout of cancer about 15 years ago. I had a tumor that clogged up a colon. I had emergency surgery, spent 7 days in a hospital. 30 days later, I was doing 6 months worth of chemotherapy. Now, the interesting thing about chemotherapy for a guy who was 42 at the time, daytime TV is horrible. And you know what? Instead of watching that, you get to know the people that you're going through chemo. And the reality is you realize that whether it be this pandemic, any other life event, or cancer, it doesn't, no, you know what? They don't care how old you are, how young you are, how much money you have, how successful you are, how smart you are, what you eat, how financially fit you are. It just happened. A pandemic happened. Cancer happens and you have to deal with it. And as a result of events like that through my life, you probably had it in yours. I've made a whole bunch of money. I've lost a whole bunch of money. And this show is about making sure that you have a healthier, happy relationship money. So we're going to go through the ins and outs. Hey, how to reduce your spending, how to save money, how to reduce your debt, how to get the most out of your travel, how to design or interior design on a dime. You know what? What's the best way to handle your taxes, your retirement, dealing with risk, fees, investments? We're going to have the whole thing. We're going to deal with everything's under the sun. And the reason being here is so you can get the information you need to make prudent, informed financial decisions that impact the quality of your life. At the end of the day, it's about making sure you have the ability to not have your money fall through the cracks to whatever it might be, from taxes to whatever, so you can make some great decisions. Now, with that, I want to leave you with a couple tips for today. We have a few minutes left in this segment here. Here's what we're going to be talking about right now. Many people, we've got an upkick in COVID here. They're looking at another round of layoffs. We're seeing more and more businesses going bankrupt, retail going bankrupt. Some of the travel agencies are going bankrupt. And we're seeing more, we're going to probably see a few more people out of work. We're going to see a few more people go back to work. You know what? And it's important that we look at how we go about preparing for things like this. How do we figure out what we can cut, what we can save? How can we do the same things, but just have us cost less? So here's the option. First tip, get a spreadsheet out, get an Excel spreadsheet out, whatever you want to do, start writing down things. So first thing you want to write out is your mortgage. Second thing you want to write out is things like your rent, your car payment. You want to write down all your credit cards. What's the interest that you're paying on them, the percentage rate. You want to look at your cable bill. You want to look at your cell phone bill, your utilities, the food that you buy at the grocery store, the gas you buy when you fill up your car. You want to write down things like, hey, I eat out at going to get coffee, or I'm going to go out to get something to eat at a fast food place. All the things that you spend on. Make sure you detail all the apps you have, all the fitness apps you have, all the wine clubs, the food delivery services, all those things. Once you've got it all detailed, you now want to take a look at how I can reduce my expenses. First of all, let's look at those apps. If you haven't used it in a couple months, get rid of it. I met somebody 2 weeks ago that had a Weight Watchers app. She had it for she's had it for a year. She used it for 6 months, got to her target weight, and she hasn't used it since. I said, cancel it. $44 a month right off the top. We have people that are looking at these wine club apps, food apps, all that kind of stuff, where they're paying $30 every 4 months. That's $120 a year. Well, hey, that saves me $10 a month. Got to remember something. Every little bit counts. So let's talk about other things. Financing, your mortgage. Hey, you know what? If you haven't been laid off, you have an opportunity here to refinance your mortgage. If you're paying 3.5, 4.25, you can get 2.25, 2.5. So if you have a $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 mortgage, you can save anywhere from $700 to about $1,500 a month on reduced mortgage payments. In fact, some people can reach their goal of paying off their house faster because of the lower rate. So it makes sense. If you could save $1,000 a month, wouldn't you? Now, next thing, if you're in a situation where you've been laid off, this is what you want to do. Every mortgage comes with a forbearance options. You want to understand the rules there. Some will require you to pay back, you know, you have a 6 month worth of forbearance. And you know what? You got to pay everything off at the end of the 6 months, okay? What a lot of people will do is say, hey, you know what? Housing market's good. It doesn't look like I'm going to have a new job in 6 months. So what they'll do is they'll put their house up for sale. They'll save money by not having to pay that mortgage payment. But when their house sells, they pay off what they didn't pay in the forbearance at that point. Other situations will allow you to go as much as 12 months and just have another year added onto your mortgage. So if instead of having a 30-year mortgage, you have a 31-year, but you only paid in 30 years. So look at those things. There's some options there to save you money. When it talks to cable bills, hey, you know what? We were paying $272 a month with cable and all the other things like HBO and so on. And when we started doing our research, because one of my clients told me about this, if I just get the internet with all the fees and everything, I'm looking at $99. And then what I started doing is checking into Hulu Live, AT&T Live. You know what? I can get all the TV channels that I watch plus the apps for $54.99 a month. So that means I was paying about $155 a month. And you know what? That saved me over $100. Hey, that's $120. Then we started looking at the cell phone. There's four of us. You know what? $50 a month per. Actually, it was $60 with all the stuff we got in there. Okay. But by switching to a carrier that is less, you know, we have AT&T, Verizon, and others. you can switch to another carrier that might be a smaller carrier, but it's on the same network. So you have the same network. The difference is you're not stuck for 2 years in a contract, and you can pay $30 instead of $60. It's $120 savings for us a month. What will it be for you? You know what? Start looking at those little things. When it comes to dining out, hey, how often do you dine out? I've seen people who've dined out for, you know what, $800 a month on dining out. That's, you know, I saw people, Starbucks, $310 a month. And they were like, oh my God, I never thought I spent that much. Or they like going to In-N-Out at $8 or $9, or spending $30 at the restaurant, but it's $800. Look at bringing some lunches, planning and preparing those lunches, those snacks and all that kind of stuff could save you money. When it comes to coffee out, you know what? I had one client, $335. And you know what? It was very interesting because once she realized that she can go to Costco and buy the Keurig cup, she liked that donut shop coffee. But you know what? She was getting about 100 little Keurig coffee things for about $30. And then she was buying a creamer that are her favorite flavor. Now she's paying $35 a month for coffee instead of $350. That's a $310 savings. When it comes to gas, people typically, if they're married, they have a couple cars. You know what? If you're stuck at home, drive the car that gets the best mileage. Reduce those things. Reduce the expenses on those cars. Get rid of those fitness apps that you're not using anymore or that you've had for 3 years that are $10 and $12 a month. Look at every little way. You know what? I talk to people all the time that have different income levels. Some, hey, my expenses are $2,000 a month. You know what? If they save $200, that's 10%, but that's $200 that they could put towards paying off a credit card, putting towards emergency money, putting towards retirement, planning, prepare in case they get laid off. You know what? I have people that are $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month in a budget. You know what? If you're able to reduce that budget by a certain amount, it makes a difference in the world. And that will enable your dollars to go longer during this period of time. You know what? We've hit that time for a break. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with Jonathan Gerodes.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Jonathan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're looking good today. I like that CRG1 background.
Well, that's, you know, who knows what's behind that background? That's what we got to hide, Steve.
The big question is, are you wearing shorts?
No, I'm not going to stand up for you. How about that?
I'm good with that. So, Jonathan, I want to welcome you on the show. For everybody who just joined us, this is Jonathan Gerodes. It's one of the biggest things that we were talking about in the previous segment is how to reduce or eliminate your expenses. Now, one of the ways people can do this nowadays is to refinance their mortgage, especially if you have a 3.5, 4.5, 4.25 interest rate and you get it down to the twos, you can save $500, $700, $800, $1,200, $1,500. I've seen people save as much as $2,000 a month, or look at different options for even paying off their loan quicker by looking at a 15-year mortgage with the same payment as they had before. So Jonathan's here to talk to us about where mortgage rates are now, what makes that up, and hey, where are they headed? So Jonathan, you know what, could you fill us in on that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you make a huge, a really good point. I mean, the mortgage industry is seeing the largest application and funded mortgage year historically. And that is really just being driven by the lower interest rates. Thankfully, our Federal Reserve has stepped in and has really helped fuel those lower interest rates. But the savings that the people are able to achieve right now, especially here on the West Coast, where you do have higher loan amounts, the savings, even dropping 0.5% in rate, can be very substantial. I mean, we're seeing hundreds of dollars a month where people are doing no-cost refinances, so not paying hard costs of the refinance. But let's talk about interest rates. So with the Federal Reserve And definitely this the COVID situation has helped fuel this, because they've had to pump billions of dollars into the bond markets. A couple different types of bonds. One is the treasury markets, which is at all-time sort of low yields. But more importantly, they're putting money into mortgage-backed security bonds. And that really is what fuels and prices long-term rates. In the mortgage industry for many, many years, and I think consumers have sort of followed this, they've learned that people would follow and still do follow the 10-year treasury market and that bond yield. But the reality is that is not indicative of what's pricing mortgage rates today. Mortgage rates are really being priced out on mortgage-backed securities, where those bonds are being traded and at what levels they're being traded at. So we have seen historic lows for rates this year. You will continue to see the marketing that is pushed out all over the internet that today's rate is at historic lows. And that's not always the case. I mean, we have to remember as consumers that marketing is marketing. We've been marketed to in the last 10 years that rates are at historic levels and historic lows. But they have bounced back and forth this year between that real historic low. So I guess the bigger question that I get asked all the time is, you know, where are rates going? And what should I do, especially if I'm refinancing? And so those are questions that need to be addressed and need to be sort of answered. But I will say that we are very fortunate to have these level of rates. And whether you're looking, you know, whether people are looking to consolidate debt, and we're seeing a lot of debt consolidation from a credit card liability perspective. So people paying off credit cards. People pulling cash out for home remodeling because everybody's stuck at home right now. So the construction business is doing quite well. And to lock up interest rates that are sub 3% in many cases, it may not fit the bill for everybody, but in a lot of cases, we've seen a lot of sub 3% rate. It's cheap money, and it's hard not to take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's true. So what, like, for example, right now, are you seeing, like, one of the questions I really want to ask is, when it comes to refinancing, what should people get prepared for? What would be the smartest thing for them to do to help somebody like yourself get a package put together? When they look at their credit score, when they look at their finances, what's the best way to position it so you, somebody like yourself, can help them the most?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. So a lot of people will reach out, and I know that's not just for myself, but from an industry perspective, people will reach out and simply ask the question of what's your rate? And that question is such a loaded question, and there's so many other questions that have to be asked before you get to that point of the interest rate. And it gets a little bit frustrating for the consumer because, again, we see marketing, we see interest rates posted, we see them posted online, we see them posted on commercials, we hear about them on the radio. But the reality is those posted rates are always the prime perfect scenario, typically revolved around purchasing a home with 40% down payment with an optimal credit score on a single family home to live in. And so then you take into account a refinance, different credit scores potentially. Maybe it's a condo, maybe it's a single family home. Are we pulling cash out? Are we not pulling cash out? What's the loan to value and what is that credit score? So the other thing that I see a lot of, Steve, is a lot of consumers in today's day and age get consumer credit scores, whether it be from a Credit Karma, or maybe it's a credit card that will show you what your credit score is on a monthly basis. There you can log in and see that. And the problem with this, and it's a well-known problem in the industry, is these credit scores are not accurate and indicative of what happens when you apply for a mortgage and we pull your credit report. Typically, when we do that, you now have an algorithm from a reporting standpoint that's put on top of that information. And so a lot of people will think their credit score is 770. and they'll apply for a mortgage and their credit score is 720. And it changes the dynamics, it changes the pricing, and could potentially adjust that interest rate pricing. So number one, getting prepared is kind of having an idea of where you do stand from a credit perspective.
So let me just interject there. I think that it's a really interesting point that you make, because the reality is everybody's seeing low interest rates being advertised, whether it be online or TV, and that all it really is marketing.
Yes.
And then when they take a look at that credit score, whether it to be on their credit card or credit karma or something like that, and they see that 770, that's not really taking into account that they might have 14 credit cards and have $150,000 in, so their reciprocal credit or their retail credit, so to speak, they're already almost at their limit, and then they're looking to refinance their house. So the borrower is going, okay, we have to adjust that. Is that really what's going on?
That is what's going on. And the reality is when you, the way the credit industry works, depending on the type of credit that you are applying for, will depend and will drive different scores. So for example, if you go to buy a car, typically an auto dealership is going to shop your sort of loan around to multiple places, but they'll pull one credit bureau. So let's say they pull just TransUnion, and they're really just looking for past auto history. So when you go to buy a car, your credit score is typically even higher than what you would see maybe on a Credit Karma, because they're only driving the scoring model that they want to see. When it comes to a mortgage credit report, we're looking at everything. And so that algorithm is a little bit more comprehensive. It takes into account all those liabilities, all that history, maybe public record, things that are filed on there. And that's where you see a pretty big discrepancy at times. And I'm talking about 20 to 80 points difference between a real credit report and that consumer credit report or credit score that people are looking at home. So that is a driving force.
So here's another thing. And then we have one more question, then we're going to go to a break. But the question that I have is this. You see somebody, in fact, you helped out one of my clients years ago that had like four foreclosures, and she had waited the period of time. And you know what, obviously her rate was a little bit higher. You know, in this environment right now, are banks and lending institutions taking a chance on somebody who might have had a foreclosure or a short sale, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that type of thing?
Yeah. So the lending world has opened up quite a bit. Now when you have different types of loans, and the loans go to different places on the post-closing side of things. So people still buy loans. So there are guidelines set in place for your regular, just conventional loans, jumbo loans. There's definitely stricter guidelines. And then you have government insured loans, FHA loans, VA loans that are a little bit more lenient. But then you have a separate category of loans called non-qualified mortgages. And not to say that these are subprime loans, because that's a bad term in the mortgage industry from years ago, but they are loans that would not fit into the standard box, if you will, that have a little bit more lenient guidelines, potentially a foreclosure, potentially a short sale or lower credit score, or maybe from an income documentation standpoint, you don't qualify because you're self-employed and you don't report all your income potentially. From a qualifying perspective. So there's alternative ways of qualifying people, not from a credit perspective, but also an income perspective. So definitely there are products out there.
Perfect. I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to take a little bit of break and we'll be right back. Thanks for appreciate y'all sticking with us. Okay. And guess what? We're back. I love Facebook Live. It's fun. So now that we're, you know what, what's that? Let's talk about, you know what, you have people over the age of 62 and they're retired, and you know what, their income might have reduced. They don't need that much money, but they're now looking at capitalizing on these interest rates, okay? And you know what, isn't that the Frank Dodd Act where they had to have so much income to their expenses and all sorts of things? And it might not be there anymore just because they're not in the working field, okay? So how would somebody like that get prepared to refinance or buy a new property, that type of thing?
That's a great question, Steve. And we do see that a lot, right? You don't want to take all your income to pay to limit taxable consequences from an income perspective. So the preparation on that is really depending on where your assets are held. If they're held in an annuity or an IRA, some sort of retirement account, there is distribution income that is qualifiable income for a mortgage. So for example, if you have an annuity, you can start taking a monthly disbursement or monthly draw on that annuity. The same thing like you would do with an IRA account. When you reach a certain age, you're going to have a required minimum distribution of those retirement assets. But before you reach that specific age where it's required, you can set up monthly distributions. And my recommendation would be to get that prepared, figure out ahead of time how much income you're going to need to make those payments on a monthly basis and to fit into a specific debt to income ratio from a qualifying perspective for the mortgage that you're looking to take out or refinance for that matter, and prepare that ahead of time. Get at least one monthly distribution sort of drawn and into your account before that application, so an underwriter can see that this is something that's going to reoccur.
Okay. How long is a typical how long is a refinance actually take nowadays? Because I've had some clients, they're like upset because it's taken so long. Might as well ask the expert.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll tell you, from an industry perspective, with this record volume in the mortgage industry, there are companies that are reeling really badly. I've heard some nightmare stories. I've started and we have taken over loans that have been in process for months at other places. A typical refinance, if you're talking about a conventional loan, should take about 45 days. And when I mean 45 days, it's going to take all of 45 days because you do have regulatory timeframes in there for certain documentation and waiting periods, even after signing loan documents. But here's the reason behind that is, you know, COVID has created this work at home environment. So when you think about all the different places and people that are involved in a refinance, escrow companies, title insurance companies, an appraiser that may or may not need to come to the house, homeowners insurance companies that lenders need to get evidence of insurance, all these people are working from home. And so with the volume and working from home, you've created this delay and sort of time gap, and even ordering payoff demands from companies, right? When we're going to pay off your loan, we have to get a payoff demand. Some companies take 10 days to turn those payoff demands. Or let's say you have a home equity line of credit on your home and you want to keep that. We have to apply for something called a subordination and we have to send a package to that bank. Well, some banks are taking 45 days. If you have solar on your home, we may need to subordinate that solar lien and they're taking 30, 45 days. So it's not just the mortgage industry, it's third party entities that come into play with these transactions that we have to work through as well. So people do need to be patient, like everything else right now in 2020 and COVID. People just need to be a little bit patient. Now,
so what you're really saying is we're back in the caveman years, you know what? We just kind of need to relax. But the other thing that you're really saying is this: if you're really looking to refinance before the end of the year because rates you think they might change, you want to get going now, and you want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row, and you want to talk to whoever you're doing the refinancing with. How long is it actually taking, and what specifically needs to be in place? So you know what? There are other issues. And also, do some banks ask for the same information twice, three times, four times?
Probably.
So in other words, it would be good to have a thumb drive or two so you can just shoot it right off instead of having to go find it again. Is that right?
That is right. Well, I'll tell you, the self-employed folks are having the most difficult time in getting kind of put through the biggest pain points because there are very specific guidelines in place for self-employed. So up until the day of funding, we want to make sure that you're still making income. And so that can be a problem when you have these businesses that are being shut down or closed down. We need to see a bank account that's showing that you're still bringing in income. So that is that if you're self-employed, be prepared for more documentation and more requests up until the day of funding than you've been experiencing in the past.
And I can actually understand that from banking institutions because of what's going on right now with COVID. And the fact that a lot of small businesses are going under. In fact, in Orange County, They have 25% of the small businesses have actually gone over so far. And you know, it could be a lot of restaurants, retail, and so on. So it's very important to have those ducks in a row and make sure you can present yourself as being a good client for refinance or even purchase.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the standard documentation that people are always used to collecting, you know, pay stubs, W-2s, taxes, business taxes, the bank statements. But when it comes to the self-employed, we are looking at business bank accounts, year-to-date profit and loss statements, year-to-date balance sheets, which is something that we haven't really had to experience in the past. But even regular people that are W-2'd, banks are verifying that you are still employed on the day of funding your loan. And that can be a challenge in itself because HR people are working from home as well. So tracking down the right person to do that verification can, you know, present its own challenges, even with the simplest deal.
Okay. So we're going on to our last question, home prices.
Well, I'll tell you what. So home prices around the country, except for maybe three states, are increasing, continue to increase. I know on the West Coast here and some various places, even second home vacation spots, home prices are up dramatically year over year. I project inventory levels to continue to stay low across the country. With inventories being low, that's a supply and demand thing. When you don't have the supply, the demand is there. People want to move. People want to buy homes. You have people that are in apartments that want more space. You have people in condos and townhomes. And now there's two kids and two adults working from home. They need a single family home. Mm-hmm. You have people in single family homes that want more space, more land, bigger homes. So the demand is out of this world right now. I project home prices to continue to increase. Now, what's interesting is there are many people that believe there's going to be this sort of foreclosure, a slew of foreclosures coming to the market because of the COVID situation, because of people losing their jobs. But we have to remember sort of the industries that are losing their jobs. The high percentage of that industry may not be the homeowner to begin with. The banks are working with people. I think there's going to be a lot of stimulus sort of packages and help to keep people in their homes. So I don't foresee a slew of foreclosures coming to the market. I do see the demand staying very high. I believe interest rates will stay constant where we are for quite some time. Maybe we'll see a push up next year, but the key would be to lock in low interest rates now because you don't know what the future holds and try to be a smart buyer as well.
Yeah. I just from my personal feeling, and I'm not an expert like you, I really don't see interest rates going any lower. Do you?
I don't. I don't believe there's a reason for interest rates to go any lower. Banks need to make margin. Banks need to stay profitable. And so when we're talking about interest rates let's say on a 30-year fixed loan from the mid twos to the high twos, or call it 3%, depending on the scenario, there's a pretty thin margin right there on that risk. And so why would banks need to push rates lower? There's a ton of stimulus. People are saving a lot of money. That should be pushing money back into the economy all in itself. So I agree with you, Steve. I do see rates going up. They may stay a little bit constant. We'll see a little fluctuation here and there, but I don't think there's a reason for them to go down.
I actually agree with you. I talked to one of the somebody that worked at a major home builder a few weeks back, and he indicated that he goes, yeah, we're still going to build about 1,200-1,500 homes this year because the people who are actually still employed are the ones that can buy homes, and the ones that are not employed are the people who are typically renting, so it won't affect their business. Yeah. So that just means there's some great opportunity. But at the same token, I have a daughter that lives in Idaho, and there's a lot of people from California moving to Idaho, and they're finding out that the housing prices are going up. And one couple, they said, yeah, we put bids in on like 8 homes and nobody would take it. And then we realized that we had to be $25,000 above asking price in order to get the home. And they're like, yeah, we finally got the home we wanted.
It's a new game. People have to, as a buyer, you need to be very aggressive. You need to, you really, depending on the area, you have to kind of start off knowing that you're probably going to end up above asking price, and you need to be aggressive. The days of trying to get a deal or discount a price, at that time frame
seller's
is not
market,
here
it's
right
not going to happen.
No, not right now.
JJ, I want to thank you for being part of the show and educating everybody. You know, I think it'd be a wonderful thing for people to refinance, not just with you, but to refinance, because it could save them so much money and reduce it from their budget. Is it okay if I give out your information on air?
Sure, definitely.
Okay. Hey, if you would like to get help with a mortgage or just have some questions, it's Jonathan Jarotes. We all call him JJ. His phone number is 760-522-2298. That's 760-522-2298. And if you want to email, it's JJ at S1L.com. That stands for Synergy One Lending. Again, that's JJ at S1L.com. JJ, I want to thank you for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful week. Great Turkey Day. Don't have more than six people.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Stephen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you. We're going to be right back with you in a few minutes in Al and Evan.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we're going to talk to you about the in and outs of money. We're going to talk to you about how money works, but today in this segment, we have Alan Nevin. You know what? Alan is a nationally known economist, author, investor, appraiser. He went to Stanford, which means obviously he went to a good school, but that was a long time ago. You can tell that by the wrinkles on his face. And Alan is one of those people that has been studying the world of real estate and how it fits in the economy for decades. He works with clients that are developers, investors. He's a professional witness. He works with families looking to how they can best handle their real estate, the whole shot. Today, he's here to talk to us about the economy. Hey, what's going to be like in 2021? Hey, are interest rates going up or down? And what changes does he see with this new administration that's possibly coming in? And what could happen here in the next year with real estate? So, Alan, I want you to welcome you to the Saving with Steve Show. And before we jump in, I just want everybody to understand something. Alan's going to give you some pearls of wisdom here. And when you get information like somebody like from Alan that's going to say, hey, this is what's going on or probably going to go on, it gives you that information so you can make some good decisions when it comes to your investments so your money doesn't fall through the investment crack because you didn't have all the information. It's about making prudent, informed decisions. So with that, Alan, I want to again welcome you to the show.
Thank you, sir.
So let's get kind of right into it. Tell me what you think is going to happen in 2021.
Well, I think we first have to look at what happened in 2020, because this is a very strange recession we have, because there are parts of the economy that have continued to do very, very well. And real estate is among those that have continued to do well. Retailing has been very good. And the unemployment rate for those who have a college degree has been almost as low as it was prior to COVID. So it is a very strange recession.
So help me with one thing. You said retail has done well. Is that online retail?
It's a combination, of course.
Oh, okay.
And typically last year before COVID, online retail sales were in the 14 to 15% range. And depending on the specific item, now it's gone up to 20 to 30%.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I was just curious about that because I've seen a number of stores or long stores that have been in existence for a long period of time had filed for bankruptcy.
Yes. Almost all of those have been clothing related.
Mm-hmm.
And to a larger extent, the high-end clothing has been hurt the most. But when you look at the stocks of Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, Walmart, Costco, they're doing beautifully.
Yeah. In other words, they're actually providing the picks and shovels of everybody to live their daily life. So they're doing well because of that.
Indeed.
Okay, great, great, great.
So let's go to 2021. 2021 is going to be a fairly good year, remembering that even today, for most of the population and most of the businesses, business is pretty decent. And I've looked at a lot of the surveys that have come out. And once again, it's really a case of the folks who are at the lesser income ranges who have suffered mostly, particularly because leisure and hospitality have just been destroyed. Mm-hmm. And as I look at it the next year, I don't see that starting to come back until the third quarter of 2021. Mm-hmm. I also see a situation where in 20 to 21 that the economy does okay. And one of the elements is government. And government, obviously, depending on what level government you're talking about, it's really pretty interesting because if you look at county or state governments, they rely primarily on property taxes and retail sales taxes and income tax. Well, those who don't have a very high income really don't pay many income tax dollars. So the dollars that are coming into the government today are almost as good as they were a year ago. And they're finally acknowledging that because properties have been going up in value. As a matter of fact, home prices have been going up remarkably strong. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really a very, very strange situation. So 20 to 21 is not going to be a bad year. It's not going to be brilliant, but it's going to be pretty good. I'm going to make the assumption that sometime in the first 6 months of next year that almost all of the senior population and healthcare workers will get a vaccination mm-hmm. that'll be effective. And I think that's realistic. And on that basis, things will be pretty much back to normal in the second half of the year.
That's wonderful to hear. And you know what? I want to switch things up for you. I know we were going to talk about interest rates going up or down, but you know, a lot of people have been texting me and say, hey, ask him this. And you know what changes do you see with a Biden administration? How is that going to affect people economically?
The answer is it takes a long time to get through things on the federal level. Mm-hmm. There's no question that he's going to try to improve health care,
okay,
and that he's going to try to get approved, maybe not the $600 a week level, but some other levels that will help those of the lower income levels. So I certainly see him improving our relationship with other nations in the world. Mm-hmm. And he'll, you know, will be going back to World Health Organization and others that President Trump walked away from. Mm-hmm. So I think we're really looking about, pretty much looking like a repeat of the last Obama administration.
Okay. Well, what is it? What, you know, with the, that's the administration. So when you have a divided Congress and Senate and all that stuff, obviously a lot of people are worried about agenda-driven initiatives. And do you see much of that happening with the divided Congress?
Not really. You know, one of the really marvelous things is that Joe Biden has a very good record of working across the aisle. And he knows all the players. He literally knows them all because mm-hmm. he's been around three decades. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, he'll be able to get things approved that Trump could not.
I see. Okay.
And of course, I have no idea what will happen in the Georgia elections.
Yeah.
It's a possibility that Ossoff and Warnock could win and flip completely into mm-hmm. the Democratic stronghold.
Yeah. No, everything could change. It'd be interesting because I was having a discussion earlier about Social Security. And I think Social Security is just a gigantic animal. And I don't see much of it changing because of the negative effects of any vote by any one politician could either be taxing somebody further or taking money out of somebody's hands or mouth, so to speak. So I don't see much getting done, which is kind of concerning for somebody, you know, it might be going on Social Security in another 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, no, I do see a change in Social Security. I think what they have to do is forget the lid on taxation. Mm-hmm. So you just keep on paying all no matter what you earn, mm-hmm. you keep increasing.
And that's 4% from SSI between corporate and individual.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that.
Yeah. No, that's what they're talking about. Here, there's 12.4% of somebody's wages goes to Social Security. They expect that to obviously, I don't think that would be a bad idea to maintain the solvency of Social Security because, it's not too long down the road where, it might be exhausted if we don't do anything. So hopefully somebody will do that.
Well, it's also a matter of demographics because we're getting grayer.
Mm-hmm. We still got a lot of people turning 65.
An awful lot, yes.
Okay, so let's have that conversation about rates.
Interest rates have no reason.
Let's hold on just one second.
Yeah.
I want to take a break before we go into the next thing. Otherwise, we can't pay the bills. So with that, we're going to take a break for a little bit here to pay some bills, and we'll be right back with everybody. Again, we have Alan Nevin. He's talking about the economy. He's a wonderful economist, been around for decades, so he sees how the tea leaves are going to run. And we're lucky to have him. Hold on. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Everybody, if you're just joining us, I have Alan Nevin. Alan Nevin is a nationally known economist, appraiser, investor. He's a Stanford grad, but it's been a long time ago, and he spent decades studying the real estate market and how it fits into the economy. He's just given us what 2021 is going to look like. It's going to look pretty good, which is nice. He's talked about the changing administrations, and now you know what? We're going to talk about what he sees with interest rates. So have at it there, Alan.
It's not going to be much of a story because nothing's going to change in 2021. You know, what happens now is in most of the rest of the industrialized world, interest rates are zero or sub-zero, if that's the case. As a result of that, money is pouring into the United States because even if we're paying them 1%, it's mm-hmm. an awful lot better than what they're getting at home. And because the money is pouring in, the lenders have to get that money out. And the only way they can do that is to keep those rates low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to go on certainly through the entirety of next year.
You know what? It's really interesting. I was talking to somebody about German bonds. And they had explained to me that if you buy a German bond, you would owe them money as opposed to receiving interest.
It's true. That is true. It's negative in several countries, by the way, in Europe.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. But you know what? I don't know how long that's going to last. How long do you think low interest rates would last? Do you think, let me phrase this a little bit different. Because of COVID in 2020, we've already added $6 million to our deficit. And obviously, we're going to spend a lot more than what we've taken in from a tax revenue standpoint. And one thing that low interest rates does and not a lot of regulation is it lends itself towards successful business models, which obviously generate tax revenue. How long would interest rates need to stay low and have a vibrant economy in order to get to the point where our deficit isn't continuing to grow at the rate that it's growing right now?
Okay. To begin with, remember the government is paying interest on that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And because the interest rate's so low, they can continue to carry that debt a long, long time. So I don't like the debt. The reality is when President Clinton left office, there was zero federal debt.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've gone ahead where our federal debt matches our GNP. And that's not favorable. But the reality is when you look at the interest on the debt as a percent of the government spending, it's almost insignificant.
Oh, okay. So that was something I was vastly worried about because I keep looking at it like it's a bank. Hey, look, if you have too much debt, sooner or later, they're not going to lend to you. Or it's going to cost you a lot more.
Yeah, no.
Nope. Okay. No. Well, that was good to know. So now comes the big topic. The big topic we have is real estate. So what do you think is going to happen here? Or what do you project to happen here in 2021 when it comes to real estate?
Same as this year.
It's just going to keep going up?
Yeah. That's why this recession we're in, theoretically, has been extremely positive for real estate. New home sales have just been terrific. I listen once a month to a network that has 25 home builders from around the United States. And every one of them says they just can't put out product fast enough.
Oh, wow.
because of the low interest rates. And therefore, the new home market is doing great. Multifamily production of apartments and condos are doing just fine. And then on the resale side, I produce a report every month for the San Diego Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. And I am just stunned with what's happening in that they just can't get enough product online to satisfy the demand. And, you know, in most markets, you have about a 6-month inventory mm-hmm. of homes. We're down to one month.
Oh, so
and, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was talking to Jonathan Droz at Synergy One Lending, and he was explaining, we have very low supply and the demand's up and people are paying $100,000 more than asking price. And they're just driving up prices.
I got a great statistic for you. We are second in the nation in terms of prices that are being paid over listing prices.
Oh, wow. Who's first?
Salt Lake City.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's really amazing. When I look at the statistics, single family homes here last year, those that sold were up 13%, which is pretty remarkable.
Now, I want to add in something else. My daughter goes to Boise State University, and we've had a number of friends move out of California into Idaho, and they're finding that prices are going up and people are paying a lot more. When you look at the number of net residents that are leaving California for other states, is it still a large clip of people doing that, or is that subsided? What's going on with that?
Well, the answer is, what we find is those that are leaving tend to be the low income. Those that are coming in tend to be college graduates because we have such an amazing job base mm-hmm. On life sciences and high tech and software. And that part of the economy, which is really what pushes our economy to great heights. We've been running, in the state of California, our GNP has been going up 4 or 5% a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really sort of remarkable. So the answer is yes, there are people who move out and people who move in. And it just keeps going that way. Now, we're not growing as fast as we have in the past for a couple of reasons. Number one is that we've cut off the inflow from other countries, which has been a large part of our growth. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate because we really need those people to come in. And the other part of it is that our birth rate of births have gone down mm-hmm. over the last decade. Yep. So, yeah, we're not growing like we used to. But this year, we will hit 40 million people.
Oh, wow.
Which is phenomenal. It's larger than the entirety of Canada.
Well, it's also larger than Australia and a couple other countries.
Australia is not even as large as Southern California.
Oh, so. That I know. There's, countries like Belgium and England and all that, they don't have as many people as you think. Alan, I want to thank you for taking the time with us today. One last question I have is, when you take a look at this real estate market and the way it's going, how long do you project for the real estate market to continue that? Is it a few years, 3 years, 4 years, when this, interest rates change?
Yeah, it relates directly to interest rates.
Okay.
So when interest rates start to go up, and I have no crystal ball on that, then there'll be a change. But let us say I feel quite confident for the next year or two that their interest rates should definitely remain low and real estate will be alive and well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Alan, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been wonderful. Thank you for filling in our guests. Again, everybody who's watching right now, think of what Alan's saying. You're going to have a better economy in 21 than you had in 20. Your real estate prices are going to go up. Interest rates are going to be down. So this is a wonderful time to start a business, get a loan, reduce your expenses, find mother real estate. And you know what? It looks to be a wonderful year next year. My hope is that the vaccine gets out faster than 6 months, so we can really kick this economy up and those people who are struggling can get back to work. So again, Alan, I want to thank you, everybody. This is Alan Nevin. He's a wonderful economist. Alan, is it okay if I give out some of your information on the air?
Sure.
Okay. So, Alan, let's see. Alan, you can contact Alan at Nevin, N-E-V-I-N, econ@gmail.com. You want to talk the economy, if you need some help with overlooking a project or investing, hey, reach out to me. Obviously, he'd be more than happy to help you. Is it okay if I give out the number?
Prefer not.
Okay, so we don't want 3,000 phone calls.
And you
I
got
understand
it.
That too. With that, Alan, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve, and you have a wonderful weekend and a happy Turkey Day with family.
Thanks, Steve. Same to you.
All right. See ya.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show. Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Well, welcome back. We have about 35 seconds before we finish out the show. You learned today that, hey, interest rates are likely going to stay low. If you're going to do a refinancing, hey, we're in the middle of November. You want to get on it now if you want to get it done before the end of the year. And you know what? You have some time next year because interest rates will stay low. But you also got some good news about housing prices. So if you're looking to refinance, do other things like pay off bills with that refinance, you got some opportunity there. But don't wait too long because you never know when the market's going to turn. We also found out today that, you know what? We have an economy that's going to continue on better than it was last year. You know what? Next week, we have Ken Foster. He runs the podcast called Stars or the Voices of Courage. He's uplifting. He's a life coach. He works with CEOs. He's going to have some wonderful insight. And then we have Ali Hamishian. He wrote the book, the tax book that was just outstanding on how to reduce and eliminate taxes. He's a financial advisor. He's going to give you some great advice for reducing and eliminate your expenses when it comes to your investments, as well as get the most out of those investments. That's it with me. This is Steve Sexton with Saving with Steve. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Save with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.